What is behind the spike in violence in Milwaukee? Our largest city set a new homicide record last year, exceeding the number of killings set back in 1991. Last year, the city saw more shootings involving children and more road rage. What should be done? What does your neighborhood need? Your perspective now, 800-642-1234. John Chisholm is Milwaukee County District Attorney. John, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you very much. I hope everybody is safe and healthy.
John, what can you tell us about the types of killings Milwaukee experienced last year?
Yeah, this was tragically a fatal year for our community, and it really impacted across a broad index of what we would call social suffering, right? It's certainly just looking at the homicides alone. As you mentioned, they set a record, a very bad record. Our previous worst year had been 1991, and that was just right in the midst of the crack cocaine infusion and epidemic, where we saw dramatic spikes in homicides. But last year we finished with 190 just within the city. We had 216 countywide, which is elevated for the county as well. And just so for comparison purposes, for 2019, we had had 97, and in 2018, we'd had 99. Now, that's never good, but that's a number that is relatively consistent when you average it out, if we're essentially doing everything that we can to try to contain those numbers. And then the other major concern was that we had almost 775 non-fatal shootings. The previous year was about 450, and the year before that was about 476. So again, you put this in the context of the suffering associated with the pandemic. We had overdose deaths that almost broached 500. And you mentioned it, the categories are really concerning. Elevated rates of violence associated with family violence and domestic violence, and just an absolutely unacceptable number of child deaths. All of these things combine to really demand that we put all the resources that we can possibly put together to focus on the community that's most impacted. And that's the other distinction I'll make, and that is that this disproportionately, whether it's the COVID impact or the violence impact or the addiction impact, the poverty impact, it disproportionately falls on the people of color in our community, the black population,
victims were, victims were 86% black,
That's
more
it.
Than 80% male, and almost half were in their upper teens and 20s. Why are young black men dying or nearly dying by violence?
Right. It's a combination. It's a complex mix of issues that are rooted in a lot of different factors, but certainly it's been compounded, I would argue, by a number of factors. But what we have found over time, there's a professor from NYU, a gentleman by the name of Patrick Sharkey, who's examined major urban centers for the last 10 years and examined the sort of the root causes of violence and what actually prevents violence. And what his conclusion is that the most effective method of containing the virus of violence, if you want to put it that way, is having neighborhoods that are socially cohesive, that are supported, that have resources to provide the really early interventions that are needed to take place before things spin out of control. And so what we've come to understand is that we as a community really have to adopt that perspective that we're seeing and trying to implement in the public health context is completely relevant to trying to address violent crime. In short, if you've been exposed to high rates of trauma and violence throughout your life, you're going to think differently. You're going to behave differently. And when you're heavily armed, and everybody in this country is now heavily armed, it's going to lead to circumstances that are not going to be resolved rationally and peacefully sometimes. And that's what I would attribute a lot of it to.
You know, Milwaukee police confiscated thousands of guns last year. What effect does that have? Or do more just appear in their place?
Yeah, it has almost no effect. Even before being elected in 2006, I had led our violent crime task force's approaching it from, quite frankly, a deterrence standpoint. We aggressively prosecuted firearm offenders and sent some of them federally, and that actually has a impact. But the reality is that the accessibility of firearms just can't be stemmed at this point in time. So the approaches that we have to take, again, are getting to the problem much earlier. Some signs of hope for that would be that there is a recognition that we have to approach it from more than just law enforcement interventions. There's a role for those, obviously. I still maintain very strong position on those who use firearms to commit crimes. But the ideal thing that we want to do is take advantage of people with the lived experience. So the development of the Office of Violence Prevention with the Director Reggie Moore, the development of the Office of African American Affairs that really focuses on helping us develop that capacity within the community itself to monitor and identify and intervene before things spill out of control. And that has to be resourced on a really large scale. The way it's being done right now is just not adequate. The analogy I would make is that we found that we were completely unprepared for a pandemic because we had neglected the infrastructure in our public health system. The same thing's true. If we want to contain violence, we have to invest in those community institutions, the people, the neighborhood, and the families that have been most impacted and are desperately seeking solutions to those problems. In the context, as we saw through the social justice movement of the summer, where they don't trust many aspects of the criminal justice system, and that creates an additional challenge for us as public safety officials.
We're talking with Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. We're looking at the spike in homicides in the city and what can be done this year to quell the violence. How has the increase in violence affected you? Are you more worried about your safety? Has the trauma touched your family? How do you want the criminal justice system to respond? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with DA John Chisholm here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. Milwaukee had 190 people killed in homicides last year, shattering the record set in 1991. Milwaukee is not alone. Big cities across the country saw a rise in violence, and researchers at the University of Missouri St. Louis have a new report for the Council on Criminal Justice. It points to economic stresses of the pandemic and the social unrest after the police killing of George Floyd as a couple of factors in the alarming increase. Let's bring in Mark now, joining us from Minnesota. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yes. I don't know if the chief or attorney is aware of a program out of Chicago called Cure Violence. They were able to reduce. Are you?
I am indeed. In fact, the Office of Violence Prevention under the Director Reggie Moore brought that the Cure Violence up to Milwaukee about 3-4 years ago, and helped inform the creation of a community-generated document called the Milwaukee Blueprint for Peace. It's a public health-guided framework for how we address it. And what I would argue is that we have to go all in on that blueprint. And that blueprint does not talk about increasing the number of courts, police, prosecutors, prisons. What it focuses on is creating that capacity that Cure Violence demonstrated in the model in Oakland is similar, where you actually create the resources and capacity to intervene in ways that the people who have that lived experience of trauma and experience, they actually trust the people that are intervening and will provide them with information that they often do not feel comfortable providing us, so that you can actually act on it and hopefully prevent, you know, things like retaliation and the spread of violence that occurs. And it also, I would argue that, you know, consistent with the report out of Missouri, right, the economic factors play a key role in it. If we could address housing security, food security, if we could get people early access for medical care, mental health interventions, addressing their addiction issues before there has to be a law enforcement intervention, that's the challenge. I get it. We have enormous work to do in the criminal justice system to restore our credibility. But at the same time, if the expectation is that we're going to be the first responders to every single social problem, that's going to create a dynamic that is unsustainable and unworkable as well. So I think that from my perspective, I desperately want those entities in the community that would have the capacity to do those intervention much better than we do as the criminal justice system to be properly resourced, reinforced, and supported and work collaboratively with us to solve community problems.
Mark, what do you see? Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
What I don't think the public recognizes, because they haven't heard of this most likely, is that the Cure Dr. Gary Slutkin, specialist in infectious disease, lives in Chicago, recognized that there were clusters of murders in communities, like you were talking about. And he said, well, this looks like the same thing I would have with an epidemic, meaning the murders are related to each other.
Spot on. I call violence the other pandemic is what's been going on for a long time, but it's accelerated in 2020.
Yes.
Yeah, you're spot on.
Yes.
The research has shown that violence does, in fact, behave like a virus. It spreads.
Yes. And so he developed a team of black men and women. That's his team, all ex-convicts.
Many of them are. And they have that experience. Yeah.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for the call. You know, there are teams of people called violence interrupters. John, what do they do?
So they actually respond to the scene of trauma. They respond. They'll show up in hospitals. They'll show up on the street. And they connect with generally the family members of the people impacted. And that would be on both sides, right? Because the other thing that we've come to deeply understand is the distinction between a victim and an offender is a frozen moment in time. Many of our victims have committed offenses in the past, and many of our offenders have been victims in the past. And what we want to do is take that frozen moment in time and approach it in a different way. And it's just not a binary, arrest and move on. It's really figure out what happened, get to the root cause of why this occurred, and try to limit the impact of the trauma on the people most infected, in particular the kids. That's where the focus has to be. If we want to change things generationally, we have to focus on addressing the traumas that are experienced across a whole spectrum of issues in our community.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with John Chisholm, who is the Milwaukee County District Attorney. We're looking at the spike in violent crime in Milwaukee and what can be done. You can join in. Are you a police officer or perhaps a social worker? What underlying social problems do you think is causing the spike in violence? How has it affected your work? 800-642-1234. John, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported in 2019 that fewer than half of the 494 homicides in Milwaukee between 2014 and 2017 had resulted in a conviction. Why are so few killers brought to justice?
Yeah, it's not even a conviction. Unfortunately, it's even a resolution. In other words, a determination that you had enough information to actually arrest somebody. And this is a major concern because, again, the research shows us that accountability is important. It is really important. And the Milwaukee Police Department had one of the nationally highest rates of clearance in the country for many years. They often hovered in the 90 to high 80 percentiles. Those numbers have gone down over time, and it's a combination of a number of factors. The reality is that law enforcement is stretched thin to the point of breaking in many circumstances, and the numbers are simply overwhelming. They have to respond, you know, if you're responding to over 500 overdose deaths, if you're responding to over 800 non-fatal shootings, if you're responding to thousands of domestic violence calls, if you're responding to social unrest, all of these things take an enormous toll on the resources. And most importantly, if the community doesn't feel that relationship of trust that they can provide information in a safe way, it makes it really, really difficult to acquire the type of evidence that's needed in our system to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a real challenge.
We only have a few seconds left, but experts say there is no vaccine for violence. There is no magic here. But what can be done today and tomorrow in Milwaukee, in the next weeks, in 2021, to address this?
Pull together, take the same approach that we've adopted in addressing the pandemic, not perfectly, but we've taken enormous steps. And the biggest step we have taken is coming together across all sectors of the community, sharing information, focusing our resources, our limited resources, in the most impactful way, guided by that public health approach, and trying to change the way we are doing business with one goal in mind, and that is make this community safe, make it healthy, and create the conditions where families and people can thrive.
John, thank you for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
John Chisholm has been the Milwaukee County District Attorney since 2006. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.